You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
I am now finishing my series, Secrets to Effective Ministry. And on this installment, I want to show you how to find the specific call of God on your life. So just to recap where we are thus far in this series, the keys or the secrets to effective ministry are as follows. Spirit, you have to have the Holy Spirit involved in what you are doing. Otherwise, it's just an organization. Structure, there must be order to what God is doing. God will not bless a mess. Style or excellence, you must pay attention to the little details, even the material details. You have to remove those barriers, those distractions that people experience on their way to your ministry. Then there is substance. Style will get their attention, but substance will hold their attention. You have to live a life that is devoted to the Word, that is devoted to prayer, so that when you go to minister, and it's not all just flash, that it's not all just structure, that it's not all just dependent upon the things that are in your control, but so that there is something that people are given that is life-transforming through your ministry. And now I want to get into the last two secrets to effective ministry. Again, these are things that I've learned throughout my years in ministry and from mentors who have been powerfully anointed by God. But here we have now the next key, the next secret to effective ministry is your secrets. The scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. You may be able to fool people. You may be able to lie to yourself, but the Lord sees everything. A powerful man of God, who I consider probably, I have three mentors in my life who really have poured into me and shaped who I am as a believer, as a man of God, as a human being, really. And one of those three mentors told me something very powerful. He told me that the secret to Catherine Coleman's ministry was the fact that the Lord was able to trust her. And he asked me, he said, David, can the Lord trust you? And when he asked me that, it shook me because I really wanted to know. I went back home and I said, Lord, can you trust me? And really, one of the ways that you gain the trust of the Lord, one of the only ways, is by spending time with Him in the secret place. You see, God is dropping mantles. God is looking to use a man or a woman. But God does not necessarily look in the college campuses. God doesn't look in the churches. God doesn't look in the places of business, the places of education. He doesn't look in anywhere else. I'll tell you the one place that God looks when He's looking for someone to use. God looks in the prayer room. God looks in the secret place. What you do in secret has the most power in your life. If God sees you praying in private, there will be public power. Private prayer leads to public power. Some people have no public power because there is no private prayer. There's private sin. There's private compromise. There's private gossip, there's private complaining, there's private all sorts of things that are wicked. And we need to be careful to protect the anointing on our lives by protecting the secret place. What takes place in secret has the most power upon your life. I heard a powerful statement, and this is, I think, the second quote I'm using in the series where I don't know the source, but some of these quotes, you know, you see just floating around social media, and you sort of just forget where you heard them, but this one really stuck with me. This individual said that Satan is looking to destroy the next public voice with private sin. Now, let me tell you something. It's not too late. It's not all over for you. God is very patient. He's very gracious. If you're someone who's struggling and you're saying, Lord, help me, work with me, I'm trying, God is not going to publicly embarrass you. He doesn't work that way. The people God exposes in that way are the ones who are stubbornly refusing to repent and persisting in their sin, trying to hide it and continue in it, and making plans to continue in it. Those are the people God has to expose because he loves them. That's how he chastises them. But it's not too late for you to clean up your secret life. It's not too late for you to get a hold of your purity. You may have messed up, yes. You may have done things you regret, yes. But you can reclaim the secret place. You can reclaim your integrity. And you do so by getting on your face before God and saying, Lord, I repent before you of the secret things that I have done that I regret. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. And when you do that, there is a purity that returns and God begins to trust you again as you spend, it takes time, but as you spend time with him daily, he sees and he watches and he's able to trust you with the anointing. The anointing is something very valuable and precious. God will not just give that to someone. Yes, all believers are anointed to some degree. I'm talking about a next level anointing. I'm talking about growing in it. God will not give you more. God will not trust you with more if you're failing with what he's given you. I know this seems harsh, but you need to hear this. And if you're being convicted, that's a good thing. It means the Holy Spirit's still talking to you. And if he's still talking to you, it means he still wants to use you and he still has plans for your life. So I want you now to face this thing head on. Be completely honest with yourself. I love the way the psalmist prayed. He said, Lord, search me, O God. Remove anything you don't like. That's what we need to pray. God, search me. Make me pure like you are. Make your secret place God's place. Make your secret place a place of power. In the secret place, seek his presence. And in his presence, you will find his power. The scripture says that his power is hidden in his presence. It's when you go into the presence that you find that anointing, because in the presence, you gain the trust of the Lord. And the Lord says, I'll give you this. The sad thing is some people gain his trust in his presence, receive that anointing, and then walk away from his presence while still being used by God and still walking in that power. And that's very dangerous because God lifts his favor from them. God lifts that position from them and they don't even know it. So protect the secret place. Think of Samson. Think of King David. Think of these men who had their second chances because they repented, but also look at the consequences they faced because they persisted in sin. Don't be that person. Don't be that individual. Don't be that preacher that's on headlines next month. Repent of your sin. Make things right. Guard the secret place. That is the first key in this lesson, your secrets. And number six, this is a key that I learned that is very powerful, specificity. And you may say, what is that? I'm talking about being focused and being dedicated to one area. Let me show you in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. The scripture says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we will belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. The scripture is talking about being gifted in specific areas. Now, I know I told you I was going to tell you how to find the specific call for your life. And I'm going to do that in just a moment. But I want to first lay down this foundation. God has given to each individual a specific gift, a specific area of flow, I will say, where they just can find their flow and they're in it. For me, I found my calling. I'm an evangelist with a teaching and healing gift. You put me in any one of those scenarios, I'll hit my flow right away. And that's where I thrive. That's where I love to be. That's the spot where you find me at my best. That is the place I want to be. Get me in front of a group of people teaching the word. Let me minister to the sick or let me preach to the lost. Those three areas, those are my specific, I will call foundations that God has given me. Now, under that, you have what are specific focuses in ministry areas and topics, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. First, how do you know? Okay, how do you know the call of God? I know that God has called me to worship him. I know that God has called me to live holy. I know that God has called me to evangelize. I know that God has called me to contribute to the church. All of these things, they're all biblical. But what does he specifically want me to do? And it's frustrating when you don't know, but it's liberating when you finally find the truth that your purpose is always linked with your passion. God placed passions in you. God placed gifts within you. for the specific purpose of Him wanting you to use those gifts and those passions and those purposes. Why? Because when He created you, He put certain tendencies in you. He put certain traits. He gave you a certain personality. He gave you certain leanings so that when you got into ministry, those things would come into play. And this is how you know what you're called to do. Usually, when you find a passion for something in ministry or a specific gift, it's because God placed it there. For me, I remember when I knew I was called to be an evangelist because I went to a Christian school. I'm a charismatic Christian who went to a private Baptist school, so that kind of tells you all you need to know about me. But I'm sitting in class, and we're reading a Christian perspective on history and America. And I'm going through the different pages, and I'm seeing all of these great evangelists in the history books, not just in America, but also England. I mean, we were reading about Billy Sunday and George Whitefield and John Wesley and all of these great evangelists who God used to bring about great awakenings in their nations. And I remember every time I read the word evangelist, something sparked in me. I felt like this fire stirring in me every time I read the word. And I just knew that's what God called me to do. So you may be in a place where you're saying, I don't really know. What do you desire to do? The odds are that God placed that gift in you. Of course, you'd have to devote that to prayer. Of course, you have to look at the word. Of course, you have to really seek wisdom and advice from spiritual leaders. But go in that direction and see what God has for you. I'm willing to bet that if you follow the passions, the godly passions that God's placed within you, you will find your specific calling. Now, specificity comes into play here. When I say Starbucks, you think of, well, some of you think of controversy, but most people think when I say Starbucks, you think coffee. When I say Apple, you think of computer. When I say IKEA, you think of furniture. For those of you who don't know what those companies are, I don't know what to tell you. But let's get a little more specific here with Scripture. When you think of Paul, many of us think of a messenger to the Gentiles. When you think of Nehemiah, you think of the guy who rebuilt the walls. When you think of Moses, the one who gave the old covenant. Let's fast forward through church history. I say Oral Roberts, you think healing. I say Catherine Coleman, you think the Holy Spirit. I say Smith Wigglesworth, you think faith. E.M. Bounds, you think of prayer. In order to become dynamic, you must first become specific. If you want to become someone who is called upon, if you want to become someone who is effective, then you must become like a sword. A sword is effective because it is sharp, and it is sharp because it is pointed, and it is pointed because it is focused. If you can focus in on honing your gift, perfecting your craft, dialing in the message that God has given to you, then you will become effective. So when I think of the ministry that God has given to me, many of you know, first topic, in fact, when you search my name anywhere, the first topic that comes up is my name and the Holy Spirit. Of course, you know that. This is the Holy Spirit's media center. This is what our ministry is about, introducing people to the Holy Spirit. But then you'll also see other things. You'll see prayer. You'll see spiritual warfare. You'll see healing. And really, those four topics are some of my areas of focus. So our ministry has a very simple vision. Win souls, build believers. Now obviously in winning souls, I'm preaching the gospel message, the blood of Jesus, repentance from sin, the gospel as we know it. But when it comes to building believers, what are the areas I build believers in? Well, the Holy Spirit, healing, prayer, spiritual warfare. And those are the areas I really focus in on. And so instead of preaching constantly many different topics, and you know there's sometimes a variety, we'll change it up. Even right now, I'm talking about ministry. But for the most part, those are the areas I'm known for, and those are the areas I focus in. So when someone does a conference on the Holy Spirit, and they're thinking, who do we bring in who talks about the Holy Spirit? My name's going to come up. Why? Because that's the area I focused in on. That's how I've become focused. I just stay in one vein where God has me. And that's what we need to learn to do. I know some ministries that have fallen apart because the pastor was a prophet one day, an evangelist the next day, and then a teacher the next day, and then they wanted to do feeding projects, and then they wanted to do orphanage support, and there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But then they would jump to media ministry, then they jump to radio, and then they would jump to websites, and they would go all over the place. And because they never gained momentum in one direction, they never stood on one track long enough to gain that momentum, they never went anywhere, and everything instead crumbled. Why? Because they weren't focused. They weren't specific. So specificity is one of the most powerful keys to ministry that you can use. This is something that when you put it into practice, you'll find yourself really coming alive as a minister. So ask yourself, what is it that is my area that God has given to me? What is the focus I want to find? What is that one thing I want to hone in on? And God will show you what it is that He wants you to do. God will show you where those passions that He's put in you should lead you. And as you follow these keys, I believe you'll see breakthrough in your ministry. So again, spirit, 2 is structure, 3 style, 4 substance, 5 your secrets, and 6 is specificity. And those are the secrets to effective ministry. That is it for the lesson and for this series.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.